Everybody pick your hymnal up. Let's turn to page number 223. Page 223.
I am singing, dear, you sing, part of the peaceful show.
Savior, I've been. Oh, what a tender comfort. Choir must be being pretty bad today. They had Gene on his knees up here a while ago. Did you lose the set out of your ring?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Y'all be nice to Gene. It's good to be here this morning. Absolutely gorgeous day. I'll just take it every day of the year. Just stamp it down. Let's do it again tomorrow. Afraid it's not going to last, though, Dixie. A while ago, they had a picture up of snow, and I think they're calling for a possibility of some later this week. But enjoy it while you can. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. I am very, very glad to see you. A lot of sickness going around. A lot of folks sick and some missing. We'll get to that in just a minute. I have a thank you card. It says, with thanks, I thank God for you. A scripture that's on the card, 2 Timothy 1:3 says your kindness means so very much. We love our church family. Your calls, thoughts, prayers, flowers, and personal visits to Boonville brought to our family such peace and strength in this time of sorrow. God bless Oak Hill and its members. You truly make a Christian difference in the lives of many. Jerry and Elaine. And we continue to pray for their family. Okay, announcements. Guess we'll do that first, huh? I about forgot everything else. I've had so much going on this morning, I didn't know if I was coming or going, so I may preach two or three different sermons today, I don't know. Not a lot going on. Today, though, is our building fund offering, so the second time the plate is passed will be for the building fund. It takes care of a lot of different things, the remodels and maintenance and projects and stuff like that, and we have done a lot last year, and we got some more stuff coming up, so keep that in mind as the plate's passed the second time. Also, tonight is a business meeting, so if you want to know what's going on here, truly, the business meeting is the place to be. Now, I know the Super Bowl is today, but I also know that God's business is more important than some football game, whether you believe it or not. I don't even know, Fred, who's playing? I forgot, too. He told me to remind me. I don't even know. Okay. Y'all tell me next week who won. Y'all come back to the business meeting tonight. It is important to take care of God's business. You know, they make these things called DVRs. You can tape the game, right, and watch it when you get home. Whatever. Nursery tennis this morning, Sam and Donna. Obviously, Miss Donna's not here, so if we need some help, I'm sure we'll get it. Next Sunday's Michelle and Holly Graves. Any other announcements? Okay, Brother Russ got this flyer, and he was sharing it with us earlier, and it says VBS Publishers Seminar, and Saturday, February the 29th, and I didn't even know that. I see how far ahead I look. This is a leap year, so we get an extra day this year. 8 o'clock a.m. to 12:35 p.m., that would be at Northern Hills Baptist Church in Texarkana. Now, Russ mentioned earlier they were going to have a couple more, one of them being in Florida. I vote for that one. He said no. So that's the way it goes, I guess. So if you plan on going to the VBS seminar, everybody get together in the past, taking the van, if enough want to go. So keep that in mind. That'd be the 29th of this month. Anything else? Any other announcements?
Standing on the promises of Christ, I keep your eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, have a shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Savior, the Savior. promises of God.
Please be seated. Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Well, we got a glorious day outside. It's going to be another good day in here. Brother Sam's got a really good message lined up for us this morning. I can't wait to hear it. Choir, the choir is what the choir is.
Gee, thanks.
Oh, I love them to death. They do everything I ask them to do, and they even do it better than I do, because last Sunday I messed up so bad on that choir special we did, but they just kept right on going just like a bunch of troopers. I was so proud of them. Well, we're going to do a really pretty song for you this morning entitled Land Where Living Waters Flow.
May my sorrow fly away up high in the sky, far up on this land of grief and woe. With my Lord I'll fly away on that day, happy day, to that land where living waters flow.
Or we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer from there, and then we're going to read out of Isaiah 9 and then Matthew chapter 22. If you haven't looked at your calendar this morning, today is the second day of February 2020. That is 02-02-2020. You'll never see that again. That's, no, sure won't. So I thought that was interesting. A lot of twos in there. So it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a gorgeous outside, just like we said. Some said we ought to just move services outside. I'm afraid if we get out in the sunlight, y'all would sure go to sleep. So we're going to stay in here where I got a captive audience for just a little while. Our phrase for the year, no matter how much I read and learn, if I never apply it, it's useless. Folks, that ought to be words to live by. Can't get too much knowledge, you can't get too much understanding, but if you never apply it, really, it's not worth a whole lot. This is the fifth sermon in this series on prayer, and we are using the Lord's Prayer as our model and going through it word by word, verse by verse. It's been a very good study for me. I've enjoyed it very much. I've learned a lot. It's always good to study God's Word. And no matter how much you might think you know something, the more you study it, the more God will reveal to you from it. And it's the living Word. If you've missed any of the previous sermons, you can catch up through our website, oakhillmissionarybaptist.com. There's a link there to the audio version and also YouTube. If you'd rather watch it, it's there. I encourage you to catch up if you're behind in the series. The Lord's Prayer is such a great example for us. And I don't want us to get or to lose sight of the fact, though, that the Lord's Prayer really is a model prayer. It's not meant to just be recited over and over and over again. It has a prayer that shows us the structure of the way that we're supposed to pray. It's that outline that God has given us. Remember this, prayer has structure, prayer has content, and prayer also has attitude. And so how we approach the throne of grace has a very big, is a very big part of how God receives our prayers. Talk to Him. Just talk to God. And then listen for God to talk back. And God talks back in His Scripture. He in the leadership of the Spirit. So read and study and talk to God and just listen to Him. Stand with me if you would. We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer and then I'll get on into the message. Most all of us have this memorized. If not everybody, I can't even remember how long ago it's been since I memorized it. But as we go, repeat with me, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to talk a bit about the kingdom of God. We've made it down through our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then in verse 10, thy kingdom come. We'll talk a little bit about the kingdom of God this morning. If we were to ask God for His kingdom to come, do we know really what we're asking God to send? Do you know what you're asking? You know, as I was studying, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about lawyers, and when they get a witness on the stand, they don't ask a question they don't already know the answer to. Listen to me, friend, our prayer should be the same way. We should not ask for something we don't know what we're asking for. So when you pray for God's kingdom to come here on this earth, do you really know what we're praying for? Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. What is God's kingdom to you? I think it's a question that we all must answer, and to understand it takes a little bit of thought, a little bit of study, and a little bit of time of reflection. It's a very valid question. What does God's kingdom mean to you? And we need to answer it for ourselves. It'd be really, really sad to pray for something and God grant our petition and then it not be what we wanted or what we thought we were asking for, would it not? So be careful what you ask for, because there's power in prayer. Amen? Prayer is very powerful, and I want to tell you something, a lesson that I had to learn the hard way many years ago. Sometimes if you pray long enough and hard enough for something, God will give it to you, even knowing it's not what you need. So be careful what you pray for, because God is in the business of answering prayers. I don't know about you, but I am ready for God to send Jesus back. Set up his earthly kingdom here on this earth. And it's coming. In the broad scheme of things, though, everything that's here is the kingdom of God. If you think about that for a second, Genesis 1 and 1, in the very beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me tell you something, friend. We sometimes, if we're not careful, get caught up in the cares of the world, and we see all the things that are going on around us and worldwide, and we forget that God truly does own it all. And we are only here as long as he deems fit. And one of these days, he's going to reclaim it because it belongs to him. Also, in John 1 and 1, one of my very favorite scriptures in the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. Did you see, hear what he said? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one that came and died on the cross so that we might live. That's God, friend. And nothing was made here without him. And he is the reason that we have hope. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God sent his son, this child, the mighty one, the everlasting, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. And he will rule this earth. It's his kingdom. He's going to rule it from the throne of David. This truly is the kingdom of God that we live in. Even though the world doesn't seem to acknowledge God anymore as the owner and the ruler and the one that sets the rules, don't kid yourself, friend. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. God's going to send him back, and he's going to set up an earthly rule from the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and I look forward to that day. We're going to talk about that a little more later. God sent his son, we know, to pay the price for our sin because we, like Adam, have inherited this sin nature. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God himself had to pay the price. And he did that on the cross at Calvary with this little boy born of the Virgin Mary, God's son, willing to become sin just for you and I. He came to his people there, the Jews. They rejected him. They hang him on a cross there on Golgotha's Hill. But he gave his life there for you and me and all of them and everyone so that we might be reconciled to God, because sin drives a wedge between us. We are left here, my friend, though, for a very important task. Let us never forget that Jesus Christ came and did what he had to do so that we might be saved, and he left his church, us born-again believers here on this earth, so that we might preach and teach and tell the world that they have to accept Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. We're supposed to preach, teach, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. We have a great task here. We're to tell the world that there is no hope without Jesus Christ. We born again believers, we truly are a part of God's kingdom. That's us, friend. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the kingdom of God here on this earth. But he left us here to spread the gospel. That doesn't make it any less part of his kingdom. The gospel, very simply, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think that we look at it and look at the world and we think it's a daunting task because people don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. But in all reality, all you have to tell people is what God did for you. Do you remember when you were lost? I do. Scared. Wandering. I didn't have a direction till Jesus saved my soul. Never will forget it. All you have to do is tell him what you did. He gave me peace. He gave me hope. I know in whom I have believed. And I have faith that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him for all eternity. Friend, that's something that a lot of the world don't have. That's what we have to offer. As Isaiah said in the scripture we read a few minutes ago, unto us is born a child. That child grew, and he grew in knowledge, and he grew in wisdom, and he fulfilled the task that his father sent. But he's not finished. Yes, he died on the cross, and he's ascended up into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of the Father right now. And one of these days, though, and it may be soon, God's going to turn to him and say, son, go bring my children home. And he's going to come, and there's going to be the rapture of the church, and then some things are going. But then he's going to come, and he's going to physically set up his rule and reign, his kingdom, here on this earth, from the throne of David. One of these days, and it may be soon, that's going to happen. You know, Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read there for just a minute. And as you're turning there, I just want you to think this, that Jesus Christ came to his own and his own rejected him. They received him not. But he didn't change his purpose here. He lived the life that was pleasing to God. And he gave his life there on that cross for us. He's the one with the power. He's the one that's going to rule this earth. And he's the one that's speaking in this scripture we're fixing to read. Matthew 22, starting in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Stop there for a second. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, that's what happened when he came and took the Jews and Israel. They rejected him. They spat upon him. They hung him on the cross. But I want you to know something, friend. It's easy for us to sit here and point our fingers, but I did that to Jesus just as much as they did because of my sin. But you see, God is a loving, caring, forgiving God. And he could have ended it all right there whenever Jesus Christ was rejected. But he loves us. He wasn't finished with us. And so he left Jesus here through the church. They made light of it. The remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Friend, that's me, the bad. You're the good. We're all invited through the blood. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see his guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Listen to me, friend. I've heard this preached a bunch of different ways. This person that was found there without the wedding garment, I want you to know the garment is the blood of Jesus Christ, and without it, you're not welcome at the feast, at the wedding. Verse 12, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. God is in the business of building his kingdom as we speak. We, his church, born-again believers, are in the business of building God's kingdom as we speak. That's why we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and sitting on the right hand of the Father, because that truly is the only hope that mankind has. For without him, we have no hope. Are you properly attired for the wedding? Are you covered by the blood? I look back through this crowd, and I really don't know anybody here that I don't think is. But only you and God truly know the answer to that question. And friend, you need to know for sure. If you have any doubts, you need to go to the Lord in prayer and get that right. Maybe you're here and you don't and have it right. One of these days, whenever Jesus comes back, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you're going to be cast into this outer darkness, this place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friend, that's hell. And you don't want to go there. And Jesus made the way for you not to have to. Are you properly attired? Contrary to what this world would have you believe, everyone's not going to make it into the kingdom of God, into heaven. This old world, and I think it's Satan hard at work, is trying to teach us and cram down our throat that everyone's a winner and that we all get participation trophies. Listen, friend, that teaching comes right straight from Satan, because you're not a winner just because you're here. You're a winner because you accept Jesus Christ. He's the righteous judge. He will throw you into hell if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21, we read of the completion of the kingdom of God. And it's a great day. And I believe it's coming quickly. But here's what you need to know today. You must prepare now. The price for not preparing is eternal. If you reject Jesus Christ while you're alive and well on this earth, it has eternal consequences. Choose well. Matthew 7, I want to read in verse 21. Jesus speaking again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Let me tell you very simply what the will of the Father is. That everyone accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's God's will for this earth. He will not accept anything else. So there's going to be many there in the end. They're going to stand before the Lord. They're going to say, haven't I done your will? And haven't I done this? And haven't I done that? In verse 22, it says that many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. No participation trophy there. You have to be properly clothed by the blood of Jesus. Those who have not properly prepared will be cast into eternal fire and brimstone, this eternal hell. There's only one way to avert that, is to join the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the winners get to enter. Are you a winner? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Are you a part of the kingdom? Thy kingdom come, my Father, is the prayer. Send your son back to set up his earthly kingdom. Are you ready? God Almighty, I cannot wait to see Jesus come back and set up his kingdom here on this earth. I wish it would happen right now as I'm speaking. Why am I so steadfastly praying for his return? For one thing, it means that I'll never sin again. And that's a battle I can't win until Jesus comes back. For another thing, for those who get their glorified body, there will be no sickness, no pain, no more sorrow. We're truly going to get what we've always wanted. Oh, happy days. For those of us who will meet God on that great and glorious day, why wouldn't you want him to come back? For another thing, unlike what we have here on this earth, in the matter of government, we see all the corruption, and I dare say that we're only seeing a part of it. The whole system is corrupt. When King Jesus comes back and sets up his earthly kingdom, he's going to rule it with a rod of iron in righteousness. We truly are going to have the perfect government when Jesus rules. Your money, your influence, your position won't keep you from getting the same judgment as everyone else from the throne. Righteous Jesus, ruler of all, come again. I'm ready. I pray all the time for God to send Jesus back. I'm so sick of this mess we live in. I'm afraid that the further that we get into it, the sicker we're going to get. But here's what we have to know. God has left us here for a purpose. And no matter how bad this world gets, what we get after we get to where he is going to be so great, it's all worth it. Take as many people with you as you can. Are you praying for the return of Jesus? For God's kingdom to be brought to fulfillment? I pray it all the time. But here's what really makes me sad, is that I know that there's people that I love, people that I'm kin to, who are not ready for that day. And so as hard as I pray for God to send Jesus back, I pray equally as hard that he would convict them and give them one more chance to accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. Because let me tell you something, friend. When you draw your last breath here on this earth, your decision is eternal. There's no going back. There's no changing it. Pray for God's kingdom to come, but at the same time, spread the gospel. Tell the world that there truly is hope when you accept Jesus Christ. Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Are you properly clothed to attend the wedding feast? The Bible says you must be born again. What that means is the Bible also tells us that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born in the Spirit to get to where God is. Changed. Changed. It's not too late. It's not too late. You can be born again and enjoy the promises of God. I am, as many if not most all of you are, maybe all of you, I don't know, a joint heir with Christ. When he comes and sets up his earthly kingdom and he ruling this earth, I am going to have the distinct privilege of ruling with him because of the decision I made so many years ago. When he comes again, I'm going to get to be with him for all of eternity. I'm going to rule this earth for 1,000 years in righteous glory with Jesus Christ. Are you going to be one of the rulers? You can be. After that eternity. Eternity is forever and ever. It's hard to explain, but if this earth is some 6,000 years old, it's not one day closer to the end of eternity than it was when God created it. That's what eternity is like. That's what the decision you make today is. Thy kingdom come. May it be soon. Are you ready? Well, ask Gene to come. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer. I ask you to think about that very seriously. Are you properly clothed? Are you ready to meet my Savior? Our fathers, we come to you at this time. Lord, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be in your house and to tell people, Lord, about Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that as this message goes out to this congregation and those that maybe listen online, however how they hear it, that the Spirit of God would convict their souls unto salvation. Lord, we pray that Jesus comes back. We're so ready to go. But Lord, we pray that the lost round about us would accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. Because Lord, as we see in your word, as Lazarus and the rich man, Lord, one accepted you and was carried into Abraham's bosom. The other rejected you, and in hell he opened up his eyes in torment. Lord, we wouldn't have any to go to that place of torment. Lord, I know you don't want any to go there either. That's why you sent Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. That's why his blood covers all sin. Lord, I pray for the spiritual condition, the hearts of those who hear this word. May they accept Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, for those of us here that have accepted Jesus Christ, we pray for strength in trying times. As it gets closer, Lord, to Jesus coming back, we truly do see the evilness of the world and the influence of Satan creeping in all aspects of our life. We pray you, Lord, for strength that we might continue fight the good fight, preach the true gospel and the whole gospel, and Lord, that the power is in you. Convict the souls of men. I just ask these things, Lord, in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Page 241.
Our struggle.
never have a friend like Jesus, no matter who your friend might be otherwise. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Trying times are upon us. We know that. If we're not an ostrich, we haven't got our head stuck in the sand. We see the things that are going on in the world. And friend, as bad as it is here in the United States of America, it's still the greatest nation in the world. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be than here. But it's not good. But that's what sin does. But one of these days, we're going to get to meet Jesus face to face. Oh, happy day. Oh, righteousness through Jesus Christ. Not another bad day forever. Are you looking forward to it? Are you ready? Are you properly clothed as we sing another verse?
No, my dear, it's so high.
I promise you, nothing that's going on in the world today has caught God by surprise. He knows. He made a way out. Thank you, God.